Vanity of vanities, all things are vanity. Though one may be rich, one's life does not consist of possessions. Do you notice in the gospel parable today that the rich man doesn't even have a clue that he's being greedy, selfish, or a fool, as God himself calls him? He just thinks he's being wise and prudent, at least according to the wisdom of this world, which is kind of a scary thought if you think about it. How many times have you and I been pleased with how smartly we have acted? And God in the heavens shakes his head and whispers, "You fool." Are there any areas of our life where you and I are like the fish swimming in worldly logic and oblivious to how foolish we are according to the wisdom of God? I remember at a previous assignment visiting with an engaged couple, and the man admitted that he used pornography regularly. And his fiance spoke up and said that she didn't have a problem with it. It was okay. They had been swimming in muddy water for so long, they didn't even know what clean water would be like. I've had numerous talks with wives who complain that they feel used or taken for granted by their husbands. And when they try to share this with their husband, he says, "Well, you just have to understand, this is how male libido works." No, it does not. Many of us have been living in the dungeons of this world for so long that we don't know what freedom feels like anymore. St. Paul says in that second reading today, "Put to death the parts of you that are worldly." Put to death immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and the greed that is idolatry. He doesn't say accommodate them, or find a happy compromise with them, or work slowly to get away from them. He says, kill them. Put them to death. How ready are you to put your addictions to death? How do I put my secular, worldly ways of thinking and living to death? I can begin by confessing them in the sacrament of reconciliation. And like any addict, because we're all addicts to some kind of sin or another, I admit my powerlessness over them and my need for help. And I realize that this is a matter of life and death. And I seek help. Christians never walk alone. The Christian life. We belong to the church. We walk our life with the church. We rely on each other. We help each other. C.S. Lewis, in one of his books, he writes about an angel asking a man for permission to put his uncontrolled desires to death. And the man cries out, "No, you'll kill me too." We can believe that lie, that without our addiction, we'll die, or at least fade into misery. We don't realize how miserable we are with our addictions, or how joyful we can be without them. A couple of weeks ago, I was at the Encounter Conference in Toledo, Ohio. It's amazing how many people experienced physical healing. There were some 300 people there that experienced physical healing, not to mention how many people experienced spiritual liberation from oppression by evil spirits. And you know, we can hear stories like that or about other countries where people very easily talk about oppression, spiritual attacks, or even possession by evil spirits. We read about that in the gospel all the time, right? But then, I don't know if you can be like me in this regard. We can also immediately wonder, why is the devil so active there and not here? We must be doing pretty darn well. We don't have evil spirits here, right? We just have an epidemic of suicides and anxiety and depression and addiction, all things which we happily treat with various kinds of drugs. But you and I are not only physical, we're also spiritual. Do you think that there's a spiritual dimension as well as a physical dimension to the epidemics that we have here in this country? You better believe there is. And we've become so immersed in this world of the physical only that we don't even realize how impoverished our spiritual world has become. We can experience freedom from our addictions. The Lord wants to free us. Are we ready to let Him put our spiritual and physical maladies to death? Are we ready to desire and to strive for the freedom of the sons and daughters of God? Anything less is vanity and a waste of time. At least the man in the gospel parable was saying, eat, drink, be merry. He was going about those things in all the wrong ways, but how different from many in this country who are resigned for the rest of our lives to being anxious, depressed, addicted, drugged, suicidal. The way to freedom from these things isn't easy. It involves the cross, which is part of putting our sinfulness to death. And that kind of dying isn't easy, but it is worth it. If you realize that you need help in putting your addictions to death and finding the freedom of the sons and daughters of God, Father Andrew, myself, all the staff here at Newman, I'm sure everyone in this church would be happy and eager to help you, because we all need the same help. Reach out to any of us at any time. There is a path to freedom and to a new life in Christ. And that life and freedom is very different from what the world has. It's the difference between driving with flat tires and aired up tires. It's the difference between walking in the dark and walking in the light. It's the difference between freedom and chains. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. You are a beloved daughter of the King. You are a beloved son of the Father. Embrace your dignity and be free. Here's the homework for the week. Ask the Lord this week to wake you up to worldly ways of thinking, to any addictions, and to ask Him for the courage to move decisively to overcome them and to experience the freedom of His sons and daughters. It's your right. It's your heritage.